Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Welcome back, Houston. These guys missed you over the last break. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
A little sore. Forgot to stretch.
Your guys' little conspiracy things that you come up with are so...
I came up in like 15 seconds, if we're being completely honest. Blankers went out to get a drink. And there was a little basketball that Blankers brought. Thank you for that. It's a really nice addition. He brought a little hoop, which I think we're going to get a lot of play out of. We couldn't figure out how to air the ball up, though.
It came with a ball?
There's a ball, but there's no pump.
Oh, I got one. I'll bring one in.
So we couldn't air up the ball. But I was like, let me dunk on Blankers. Y'all get in there. Y'all have the basketball goal. When he sits back down, I'm going to dunk on Blankers. And I think for putting together in 15 seconds, it went all right.
Had no idea what the hell was going on. You did the white man's overbite, and the next thing you know, a ball hits me in the shoulder, and I'm going, what are you guys doing?
I know. I thought you might punch me, but it was worth it. I think I just had a little bit of a stooch left there. That's embarrassing.
That was pretty good.
With a trade deadline a few days away, I have a reason for optimism for you guys and a reason for pessimism for you guys. What do you want to do? Friday, glass half full, glass half empty?
I can play along with this because I got a couple. Go ahead.
What do you want? You want to be like, should we be positive or negative first? Let's be balanced and fair.
But we're going to contribute to the show today.
You want to go negative?
We always start positive on Monday, so let's start negative.
Okay. All right. Since we're flipping the week, one reason for pessimism with this team, and we've kind of already talked about it a little bit earlier today, the form of your starting pitchers. Like, if you're looking at if the postseason started today, you're not really feeling all that comfortable with your playoff rotation. Framber Valdez might have his worst five-start stretch, like, in the last 3 years with the Houston Astros. He's went from, like, AL Cy Young favorite to now his last five starts. Man, I hope they figure him out. They better figure him out for the ceiling of the Astros to be very, very high. You say the same thing with Christian Javier. They're trying to figure out Christian Javier. Hunter Brown, they're trying to get him to pitch closer to his ceiling, hoping he didn't hit the rookie wall. Those three guys who are not in good form are your best three starters. I know J.P. France is out producing all of them. From a stuff point of view, Framber, Javier, and Hunter Brown are your best three starters, and their form right now is poor. Reason for pessimism.
That's where I was going too. The fact that it might be too much to overcome to not only have already endured all of the injuries to your starting rotation, but now know that the two guys that you were going to rely and lean on the entire season are at a point where you need to see if they're fixable. And if you can correct the ailments that they're going through, which aren't necessarily physical. Something's going wrong with, as you said, control. Whatever it was, Javier seemed to have a tired arm previously. I don't think Framber necessarily has a tired arm, but he has taken out a lot of innings. And the biggest concern to me is no matter what you try and do at the deadline, because you're limited with the resources you can give up, you're probably only going to get one starting pitcher, and one might not be enough because you need those other two guys to get way closer to where they were a year ago than trying to hope that Hunter Brown and or J.P. France be this year's version of Christian Javier and step up bigger as the season gets longer. There might be too much to overcome from a starting pitching perspective.
Your form right now, these starters, quite honestly, I don't think if the playoffs are starting right now, I don't have much confidence the Astros win a World Series with the way their starting pitchers are performing. Now, there's two ways to fix that. One, you make a splash at the trade deadline, which will be difficult. And then you get these guys in form as the other. Like Framber at his best, capable of being a number one in the playoffs. It was true last year. Christian Javier at his best, no hitter in the World Series. Hunter Brown at his best, very, very good. So, like, you need to get these guys right. But if the playoffs were right now, I would not be very confident with the Astros' playoff rotation. Now, I'm more confident that they'll figure it out than if they were in the playoffs right now having success. Y'all have more reasons for pessimism? You were going with starters too?
Yeah, I was going to start too. The other thing that you might factor in is that the injuries reoccur. Because Altuve's had, what, four separate injuries this year, with the fact that Yordan's had multiple injuries this year. The fact that if one decides to pop itself back up, whether it be a, you know, Yordan in the past, we've seen it happen with the hands. It kept reoccurring. I hope that the obliques don't keep occurring. But because these guys had multiple injuries and you keep trying to, you know, you're trying to handle them with kid gloves, but you know there's a sense of urgency now to get them back.
Yep.
That if one or if, God forbid, both experience some kind of setback again, that that could make it to the point where it could almost be insurmountable.
The relying on guys who have been injured this season is, I think, a reason for pessimism, too. Now, you try not to allow your mind to go there, which I understand. You're trying to, like, have optimism whenever you view it. But, yeah, I mean,
because of the two, we've already said, Yordan is just, you cannot replace him. So if Yordan goes down for another stint of time like he just came back from, at this point in the season, that could be insurmountable. Altuve, because of the way Dubon's played this year, you can get by. But if it's Yordan and it's another stretch of, like, you know, 15 games, that could be a body blow that you just can't come back from.
Injury prone. I mean, Yordan's injury prone. Jose Altuve this year has had four different injuries. So you hope that you dodge the injury bug the rest of the year. Now, reason for optimism? This offense is starting to shape up. Mm-hmm. This offense is starting to look the part. Alex Bregman swinging a hot bat. Kyle Tucker the last 6 to 8 weeks is performing at an MVP level. Yordan Alvarez is back, and he had an opposite field double in his first game back. Like, he sent one almost out of the park to the deepest part of Minute Maid Park. He looks good. Jose Altuve is back. You're getting those guys. Yiner Diaz is hitting home runs, which we don't know how much he's going to play, but he has been a factor. Like, this offense is starting to shape up. And we've talked about, like, what is the best look? What is the best offense for this team? And even without a trade, like, you could have a Yiner Diaz as your DH, Yordan in left field, Chaz in center, that's another name we didn't mention, who's been red hot, Tucker in right, Abreu's been better this last 3 months than he was the first 2 months. The reason that I have of optimism for the Houston Astros is this offense on paper is starting to look the part in what we thought they would be all year long when healthy.
Well, not only that, but I'll take it a step further for my reason for optimism is normally when you have a team that has taken on this many injuries to penciled in starters from the start of the season on, you get to a certain point when you get to a certain amount of players that have gone through them and you just basically understand it's just not going to be your year. You fold up the tents and you really start playing for next season. The fact that they've had so many unsung heroes and Cinderella stories step up for this team so that they can stay within two games of first place at this point in the season with all they've endured makes you feel extremely positive that now when you get Yordan back and you get Altuve back, and we've said that's almost like making two trades at the deadline because you've played so much of the season without them, and you still can count on a Dubon wherever you need him as a guy that's just not a one-game replacement with a we'll take whatever he gives us to a guy that's an above-average hitter, that can be an above-average defender, that can play so many different positions, to a Corey Jolks who could steal bases and play defense and do things for you, to all the different guys that you've had along the way, Chaz becoming an everyday player. There's so many positives from all the contributions you got from guys that weren't expected to give you to the level that they're giving you that now you add to really, really above average, top quality players, and still have those guys in the mix, you're in a better position than a lot of teams in this league because you're deeper and you're more talented.
It's kind of weird, like from where we were at the start of the year, the Astros' number one pitching staff ERA for such a long time, and then you get healthy. Tucker starts playing like at a Kyle Tucker level. Alex Bregman starts playing closer to an Alex Bregman level. And now it's like you can see the makings of a top five offense in baseball. You make a trade to that offense. You're like, oh, man, that might be the best offense in all of baseball by the time you get to the postseason. Whereas the form of your top three starting pitchers right now are the cause for concern that you have, which leads to the other question. Look, the trade deadline is going to be Tuesday. There might be a trade done by the time we do a show noon on Monday. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Astros trade for a lefty bat, starter, and a bullpen arm. All three. Because I think that there's a possibility. I think there's a bigger possibility that Dana Brown trades for a lefty bat, a starter, and a bullpen arm that are all no-name guys or names that don't have much clout cachet than it is to make one splashy big trade for like a Justin Verlander. So let's say the Astros do make the trade for all three. You know, a minor name lefty bat, a minor name starter, a minor name bullpen arm. Which one would you prefer to give you the best results? Which of the three would be the best preference to produce better than the other two? Left field bat, starter, bullpen arm.
It's a no-brainer to me. It's starting pitching because of everything that we've talked about. Because there's so much uncertainty with guys finding it, guys getting healthy in the case of Rikidi. You know, getting guys back is one thing. Guys figuring it out is an entirely different conundrum to deal with because you don't know what it is and you can't pinpoint it and say, oh, it's a forearm impingement or he's having some shoulder stiffness. No, this is more mechanical to figure out the control, to get the secondary pitches where you need them to get to. That's why it makes it so much more frustrating. That's why when you paint that scenario for me, I'm fine getting a secondary, more no-name guy in the bullpen, and if you do choose to add another bat, I really need more of a guy that's a 3-plus rotational guy. I need a bigger splash at the rotation because of the fact that it's so much in flux as opposed to the other two positions that you're trying to get better at.
I probably have to go starting pitcher too. I think I'm going to have to go starting pitcher because I think that's what gives you the better result. Like, we talk about ceiling here, right? Like, if Romer, Javier, Hunter Brown start pitching to their norms, the ceiling for this team raises. If you add a starting pitcher to this team that produces better than the left fielder that you acquire, the reliever you acquire, I think that raises the ceiling more than the other two. Now, if you bring in a left-handed bat and he's raking, and he's really, really productive. That's an offense that is scary, super scary, whenever you're going up against it in the postseason. Now, a starting pitcher, though, like he can go out and win a game on his own. Like he can go 6 shutout innings, all of a sudden turns it over to the bullpen, and that's a series victory in a short series. Mm-hmm. That's something that can carry you. That can be the difference of advancing or not advancing. A reliever, I think they're strong enough in the bullpen. Like I'm confident with a Ryan Pressly, with a Brian Abreu, with a Hector Neris in the back end of my bullpen. You give me a starter who can take it to the 7th inning, I feel comfortable the Astros are going to win the game. So I'm with you. I have to go with the starter.
And to me, that's why I would like it to be more of a guy that's been there, done that, proven, if that means bigger name mm-hmm. to it. That's why of the three positions, I'm fine with kind of just, you know, adding guys that aren't as splashy in the other two. But the starting pitcher to me is the utmost importance for this squad.
Like Michael Lorenzen helps you. Yeah. Michael Lorenzen makes this team better. Michael Lorenzen, if you go to a 6-man rotation, it gives you a real starting pitcher in a 6-man rotation. And then let's factor in Jose Urquidy as well. Like that helps you get through the regular season. That's going to help you win regular season games. It's going to help you win a division title. If you start to forecast it forward, though, at whether it's a wild card series, which is a best of 3, or a divisional series, which is a best of 7, I don't think Michael Lorenzen raises the bar of your starting rotation. I don't think he's one of your top 4 starting pitchers.
You're right. No, you're right. And so
that's why, like to your point, it's got to be a name that jumps J.P. France or Hunter Brown.
Yes, absolutely. And then as I look at it, if I'm Dana Brown, as much as I've said and I've been adamant about, I'm not even considering Michael Brantley. But if you're Dana Brown, you go, well, I'm thinking about adding a bat, but if I already got one in-house, that even if you go to the scenario you painted for us a few weeks ago, he's only going to be a pinch hitter. He's only going to be a guy coming off your bench. But if he's anywhere close to Michael Brantley, who he's been throughout his career, he's probably better than most any other bat you could put on your bench to bring off the bench in a pinch hitting role. So that means the likelihood of Dana Brown putting a higher importance on going to get a left-handed bat, it goes down the list because you still have someone in-house that could, not that we're counting on him, but he could be a factor still.
Couldn't Urquidy be a factor in the rotation, though?
But not to that level that we're talking about.
He's raising the bar.
Yeah, a 3 and up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. 713-780-3776, 6146. The makings. Okay, this all makes sense for a Stroman and Bellinger deal and then a side trade for a bullpen guy. There's a very real chance that, one, the Astros don't have enough to do that, and secondly, that the Cubs aren't going to be sellers.
Right.
They're 4 out of the wild card as it stands right now. Uncle Barney says, I like bullpen arm. The starters throw too many pitches. The bullpen is always spent. I think France is for real, so he is the insurance in the starter's case. Now, I can hear the logic for a bullpen arm if Fromber, Hunter Brown, Javier are pitching closer to their mean. Mm-hmm. With their current form, I'm going to need a starter.
Yep.
Now, if they're pitching better come October, then I love the idea of a bullpen arm because I think bullpens are what win in the postseason. I mean, you see how often managers have the quick cook in the postseason where it's, hey, you go 4 innings, we're going to that bullpen. And the Astros rode that recipe to the World Series last year.
Yeah, look, I love Uncle Barney chiming in, and more times than not, we're on the same page.
He usually agrees with you more than me.
I'm not in this case. You know what? I'll add a bullpen arm if it means I've already added a starter at like a higher level. Otherwise, my utmost top priority is a starting pitcher first and foremost, and then everything else is icing on the cake before the deadline.
Where do you stand on this? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's guess the date on a couple of players, one of them that you mentioned. And also, when is C.J. Stroud named QB1? Let's guess the date. When is Stroud named QB1 for the Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are oftentimes presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Chick-fil-A gave me one barbecue sauce today on my 12-piece nugget count. At least it was with their pleasure, but give me two! I heard a little
they
birdie.
Charge you for those?
No, they don't charge you for barbecue. Now, I think if you get extras, yeah. I think if you get extras, maybe. But usually if you ask nicely, you give them a little wink, they're usually good. It's usually all right. So you have to talk. You have to be nice. Kill them with a little bit of kill them with honey, not with vinegar, right?
That's why Joe George is out. Yep.
Joe George is out?
It's not nice.
I've never been more excited for the Wheelhouse than I am today, by the way.
Right. You know what's crazy? For as much as
he
prostitutes his own show on the weekends during our show, the fact that he hasn't tried to prostitute his appearance this afternoon.
I think he's doing it out of respect for us.
Well,
honestly.
So he's turning over a new leaf.
But I think he's been talking very little today as he preps for that show.
Oh, he's saving his voice.
No, I was doing Who Said It.
Yeah, Joe's going to be on the Wheelhouse today. He and Jake Asman from 3 to 7. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. We might have to bring back the bit for one day only. What is the Wheelhouse leading off their show with? Guess the date. When is C.J. Stroud named QB1? Before we do that, but you can get your guesses in. 713-780-3776. Guess the date on C.J. Stroud. One of the three of us added to their bird count today. One of the three of us added to the bird count. What were the standings, Joe, entering today?
It's just 1-0.
I think it was 1-0-0. Blankers was leading 1-0-0.
I was leading?
No, Jeremy, you were leading.
You were leading.
Oh, I was the one that got the bird?
Yeah, you got the bird.
Oh. That sounds about right. So 1-0-0, I was leading. Yep. Well, we now have a tie. There is now a tie for the Killer Bee bird count, and it was Blankers.
Yes, how did
you get the bird today, Blankers? How did you tie yesterday. Me for the lead? Oh, yesterday.
Left a little later because I was talking to the interns.
You're working hard. You're doing a lot of stuff yesterday after the show.
And you know what? Knock on wood, but most of the time when I drive home at that time of the day, I've never really experienced like standstill traffic. You know, I know you and especially Joe deal with a lot more.
So much.
Well, 2 days ago, it was really bad, and I got home late. Yesterday, it was completely, ridiculously standstill awful. I called Lisa. She's at the TV station, and I just said, hey, can you go to the traffic department and figure out what the hell I'm dealing with here? Because on my phone, it's not showing. There was an accident at 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, this can't be it. So she calls me back. She goes, no, you were right. There is a motorcycle fatality.
Oh, dang.
So she goes, and they're still clearing the other one. You might have to endure two.
If you got the bird from him, I'm really impressed.
No. So and then RIP whoever that was, because I'm not going to take those kind of shots. But I'm sitting there. We're all in standstill traffic. There's semis all around me. This dude in this small SUV just decides that he's better than everybody else, and he just decides to take a completely hard right turn and make everybody stop, and like he Bogarts his way through three lanes of traffic. He's in front of me. Now it starts to open up a little bit. I'm trying to get around him. I am like, okay, at this point, we ain't having any of this. I honk, and then I end up rolling up alongside of him, and he doesn't even like my bad or you know what. He looks at me and just completely flips me off and starts laughing.
That's the best.
Bro, I'm telling you, I put the car in park, and I started punching my hand going, saying all kinds of things like, are you, you know what, to have the, to do what you just did. And about a half a mile up, I end up going past him and he's stuck on the right hand side. And I just laughed as I went by going, you know what? Yeah, you gave me the bird, but screw you sitting there in the right hand lane that you thought was going to get you out faster. Now you're stuck in the middle of it and our lanes are going.
You put your car in park?
Oh man, I was literally.
What were you going to do? You're going to get out of the car?
You know what? I literally thought about a lot of things that I shouldn't have done.
Park, huh?
Yeah. Step out and punch the window out. That would have been a not so good move.
Yours or his?
His.
Did you give him the? Did you tell him he was number one whenever you drove by?
I did
him?
Not give him one back because I was
You know what I would have done?
I was verbalizing every cuss word in the book.
Can you guess what I would have done in that situation?
You'd have waved.
Maybe.
You'd have blown him a kiss?
Probably. Okay. Yeah, probably. I think I would have blown him a kiss. That's a good one, though.
Hot.
So you're tied with me. Joe, do you ever get these birds? Are you going to be a contender?
I had a buddy of mine on the phone while it was going down on my Bluetooth. You know,
that's the least shocking thing.
And he was like, whoa. He's like, hey, man, it's not worth it. Don't do it. Because he was like, man, you were close. I go, ooh, I was so close because I've been sitting in traffic for 2 hours.
There's this turn that I make over here by the Galleria where it's two left turn lanes, but everyone always goes into the wrong lane.
And is this the one under the bridge?
Under the bridge?
To the 216?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You turn and there's three lanes.
Yeah.
People on the inside left turn lane try to go into the middle lane on the next street, and they do it wrong.
Yep.
And I always do it right, and I always get the bird there. I actually haven't in a while, so I'll be added to it soon.
I'm looking forward to your first.
They happen.
Well, you're living in this bubble. It's probably why you're not getting
any. I try not to have... I don't get them when I've got a kid in the car. I drive, like, extra precautionary.
Yeah, I do, too. Now, I don't think it would...
That doesn't stop people from giving you the birds.
Exactly. I don't think it'll prevent me. I don't think I'm immune to birds whenever the Branham baby and Branham kid are in the car.
Good call.
But I do drive a little bit more precautionary.
Yeah, but I'll get one soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to your first day. You can give us your bird story, 713-780-3776. Or if you were the one that gave the bird to Blanks, we want you to call in, 713-780-3776.
That looks like a middle-aged Jake.
What if it was Jake?
Well, then I would have got... Well, there would have been a different scenario. There would have been a different ending.
Still the car in park, though?
Mm-hmm.
Let's guess the date on C.J. Stroud. When will D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans announce C.J. Stroud as QB number one for the Houston Texans?
I will say... You know what I'll say? I'll say right before the first preseason game.
Okay, that's less than 2 weeks.
I think in less than 2 weeks, it'll... Look, Carolina's already done it. I think that, you know, based on what you told us with your intel about how Davis Mills looked, the fact that it's the worst-kept secret, that's still evidently a secret as to... You know what they're going to do, and everybody knows what they should do.
Yeah.
I think more sooner rather than later. So before the first preseason game, they're going to make the announcement.
I think they'll go. So you said the week of.
Yep.
So they play the 10th. What day are you going? You got to guess the date. You got to be exact. So I guess the day works.
What's the day of the week on the 10th?
So it'll be it's Thursday, August 10th is when they play the Patriots. They're at Foxborough.
Monday.
Okay, so 7th. Monday the 7th. Joe's or Blankers is guessing Monday the 7th. I think they're going to give Davis Mills one game as QB1. And I think the reason why is because they want Stroud to play more. And I think they want Stroud to play against the other team's twos. I don't think they want Stroud to go against another team one, even for like a series or two. So I think they'll go C.J. Stroud as the starter week two of the preseason. And I think they're going to do it like the Monday after that Thursday game. So if Thursday is the 10th, Friday the 11th, Saturday the 12th, the 14th, is that right? 14th. I'll go August 14th. You're writing this down. August 14th is when the Houston Texans will announce C.J. Stroud as QB number one.
I'm writing it right now.
You write it down?
Yep. We got the 7th for Joel, the 14th for Jeremy.
Are we giving away anything like we did for Lance McCullers? And nobody got the Lance McCullers date. Well, somebody's still possible?
Someone's still possible. I'm going to scroll down through our Google Doc here. 9-5-8-3, game three of the 2024 season is their prediction. So it's still on the table. I'm going to go September 2nd.
They're going to wait that long?
Yep, I'm unhappy about it, but they're going to wait till September 2nd.
So you're going week one then?
Yeah.
You're going week one.
Before week one, they're going to wait it out. They're going to do the dumb charade all through preseason. After the preseason's over, they will announce C.J. Stroud.
I think
that's too long of a wait.
I don't think
they're going to do that.
I hope I'm wrong.
I don't see Davis Mills being QB1 ahead of every three preseason games, and then at the end of the preseason, like, oh, here you go, Stroud. You're going to be it.
Yeah, we've already been through that whole Tom Savage routine with Bill O'Brien when we knew Deshaun should have been the starter, and then a half through the game he made the change. They ain't doing that again. This is a new day dawning with Cal and you know, boy Cool Cat Cal and Hannah. Nah, I mean, I think overall with all the new pieces in place, they're going to make it sooner rather than later. That's way too long.
Guess the date. When will C.J. Stroud be named QB1 by the Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. Willa Bitts is next. What does the Will have in store for us? What does Joe have in store? And we'll see if we hear S2D2. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hello there, loyal listeners. I know you hear us mentioning ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 quite a bit on the station, and here's why. In order for our stellar programming to reach the maximum population in Houston and surrounding areas, we need two frequencies to cover everywhere you might be roaming about. Is it more expensive and a lot more difficult to manage? Hell yeah, it is. But you're worth it. If you're experiencing any static or interference due to your current position around Houston, simply flip between your two radio presets, 97.5 and 92.5, and one of those signals will be crystal. We do this all to protect you from inferior sports talk of other stations and to protect you from tropospheric ducting. Trust me, you really don't want to know what that term means. Just know that with us, you're protected and you won't get tropospherically ducted. ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Two stations for the price of none.
It's the Wheel of Bits on the Killer Bees.
Kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. I'm going to get me some kibbles and bits.
Who knows the bits the bees will begrudgingly bite? Well, let's find out.
It's time to call your shot.
Here's Joel and Jeremy. And Joe.
You have to tell me what S2D2 said. This texter, it was his bird story, 9579, yeah. He says, on I-10 today, so if you saw this, a construction truck was dropping rocks everywhere. One cracked my windshield, so I gave him the bird and I passed. He returned a double bird, so I got in front of him and started tossing golf balls out the sunroof. Well, you just have some Pro V1s, like, sitting in the car seat? Like, where do you have these golf balls stored in your car, 9579?
Maybe so you keep them out of the trunk so they get not excessive heat.
The golf balls?
Yeah.
But I mean, is it that much better in the seat?
I don't know.
Like, where do you keep your golf balls? Like,
golf bag?
I'll have either in my golf bag. Sometimes I'll have golf balls in my car, but they're in the back. They're in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
They're in the cab.
Or like, you know, I keep the boxes of the balls in the garage.
Yeah.
And then before I leave, I just grab the box and throw it in with my clubs.
I never have golf balls in the front of my truck.
Very bad idea, Jeremy, by the way, that you're throwing golf balls out the sunroof. Now, if it's like a two-lane highway and you're the only two vehicles on, but since he said that the rocks are going everywhere and you know, I assume you're in traffic where other cars are dodging them.
Yeah.
What if the golf ball misses the intended target but then drills another car?
You need your car to go fast.
You're in big trouble.
Largo says top flights for that function. Rare Candy said Pro V1's too expensive to throw out the sunroof. Let's consider, though, he's got a sunroof. So if he has a sunroof, I think there's a certain caliber of car that they're driving.
Disagree.
If they're a golfer.
Sunroofs are pretty prevalent even in hoopties.
But for a golfer, though. A golfer plus sunroof, I'm thinking a quality golf ball.
I mean, I don't know if I call myself a golfer.
You shouldn't.
I go golfing occasionally. I have a sunroof.
Do you have golf balls?
Not in my car.
There you go.
I'll tell you how they get there. You leave the course. Maybe you're leaving in a little bit of a hurry. And when you get in the car, you still got the golf ball in your pocket that you played with. So you throw it in the little cup holder?
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe.
But if he's throwing multiples, why do you have that many golf balls in the front seat?
I have a buddy who's pretty good road rage. If somebody makes him mad...
No. Okay.
I said buddy.
That's true. Good point.
If he's mad, he'll, like, you know, do the normal bird flip stuff. But then he'll race in front of him and, like, get in front of him and, like, you know, do the whole brake thing. But he'll also throw pennies out of the back of his car onto their windshield.
Tough.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
That's the guy doing it, that's when you pull out the cell phone and then you've got the witness to it and you've got the license plate.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. But, yeah, it's funny. All right, what did the Will say? What did the S2D2 guy say?
It's time to call your shot.
Oh.
We got three questions for you guys today.
All right.
First one, best start this weekend for the Astros.
Ooh.
Javier, Hunter Brown, Brandon Belak.
Blankers, age before beauty.
Wait, say that again?
Best start this weekend. Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, Brandon Belak.
I'm going to say Hunter Brown. I think Hunter Brown's, you know, the Colorado start, I'm willing to throw out the window. I think that Hunter Brown is going to settle back in the quickest. Now, that's not to say that Javier, he's got a tough matchup tonight, but that's not to say that Javier's not going to continue to progress. There's just a lot more to get through with Javier, in my opinion. I think Hunter Brown will have the best start of the weekend. And Belak, all of his starts recently have been against.
We could have just not mentioned Brandon Belak.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I didn't want to disrespect him that much.
Well, he is a killer bee. He's gonna be. I'm gonna go with.
He's a honeybee.
He's a honeybee.
We decided. Right.
He's a honeybee. He's a BP.
Where does Hunter Brown fall into that category right now?
He doesn't have a stinger, but he's got dingers.
No, but I'm a fan of his potential. So he is a. What do you call baby bees?
Baby bees.
That's a good question.
Baby killer bee.
I don't know what that is.
Hopefully, I don't know. I'm gonna go with Javier. I've been encouraged with Javier's stuff recently. He's looked a little bit closer to the old Javier. I thought his last start, he was pretty good. He was getting swing and miss. Now he walked too many. He had a career-high walks. Like one step at a time, right? One foot in front of the other. I think Javier's been trending upwards in his last three starts. I understand two of them have been bad, and his last start wasn't perfect. I think with his stuff, and he was getting that high fastball over last game. Now, sometimes he was out of the zone. And with the way the Rays have been scuffling offensively, I think Javier is due and in line for a good start. I'm going to go Christian Javier as the best start of the weekend for the Houston Astros against the Tampa Bay Rays.
That's kind of where I lean to, just because I agree. I mean, look, he had a no-hitter through five with six walks.
Or it happened in the fifth, maybe? I can't remember.
But like, so he was going good for a while. So I think Javier.
His stuff was good. His command was poor.
Next question. How many home runs combined this weekend for Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Alex Bregman, and Kyle Tucker?
Just give us half the lineup.
Yeah, I was going to say, just do two and two. I would go Bregman and Tucker, and I would go.
Okay, how many for Bregman and Tucker?
Bregman and Tucker, I'm going. I think the over-under is 2.5. I think under. I'm going to go under.
Let's bet that.
I'm going to go two.
You just set the over-under, and then you bet the under?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I can do
that. Someone's got to set the line.
10 is my number. I'll bet the under two.
What's your number?
It's Friday, man. It's the last half.
Are we going all four? Or are we going two?
I don't know, man.
I have no idea what we're doing now.
Let's go two. Bregman and Tucker.
I'll go. I'm saying the number I'm picking, predicting. I'll go one.
You think they only get one this weekend?
Did you see the pitching matchups for the Rays? McClanahan to May today. They get Glasnow on Sunday. I'm going to go one between Bregman and Tucker.
Okay, how many between Altuve and Yordan?
I'll say one. I'll go two. Four.
Yeah, I'm going to go two for Bregman and Tucker, and I'm going to go one for Yordan and Altuve.
Well, I'm going to just go with the original question as I wrote it, so I'm going to say five total.
That's a lot for a pitching staff that's good, then you're getting their best.
For the record, I hope you're right.
Yeah, me too.
For the record, I hope that I'm terribly wrong. I hope that I make the list next week for this, for saying that those four combined for
it's
200.
It's not a hot enough take to make the list.
Yeah, but maybe not.
All right, the Astros obviously are playing the Rays. The Rangers are playing the Padres this weekend. On Monday when the show starts, the Astros are blank games back, tied, or in front of the Rangers on Monday.
Look at the pitching matchup here.
Yeah, we still got our bet as well. What the Padres?
I don't like your side of the bet, by the way.
I don't either, but I took it.
It might require the Astros to win every game between now and then. Yeah. Let's see. What the bet was through the month, 28, 29, 30. So there's four games left for each team.
Yeah,
best you can do is tie.
Yeah, I like the chance for
the
them.
Astros have to go 4-0 and the Rangers have to go 0-4.
That's not gonna happen.
Do you want to buy out of the bet? I'll sell you the $5 coffee. You have to give me $4 right now.
No.
All right, fine.
I don't care. It's not that big of a deal. I'm going to say that they are still two out.
Padres kind of got some dudes going. They got Musgrove tonight against Dane Dunning. Tomorrow's Yu Darvish against Martin Perez. Sunday, it's Blake Snell versus To Be Determined. To Be Determined's having a good year.
Blake Snell could be pitching for the other team, but
I think the Padres take two of three. I hope they take two of three. I think the Astros take two of three. I'll say that the Astros, after the weekend, we're doing good, bad, and ugly. They're one game back.
That's where I got it, too.
I go one game back.
Because the Padres are playing better. The only wrinkle with this is I wonder,
would you take two games back?
Will Blake Snell
I just
make
said
that
Snell
start
might
on,
be pitching for the Rangers.
Like, will Snell make that start on Sunday?
Or somebody else.
I think there's a better chance he makes the start versus doesn't.
Probably.
But
he could make the
it's
start.
In play.
He could make it for the Rangers.
Maybe.
That would be wild.
But I meant for the Padres. I think there's a better chance that he pitches for the Padres Sunday than
he
doesn't.
Yeah, he has one more start left in him before he's traded.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a – but it'd be 30% chance he's not. You know what I mean? But would you take the Astros being two back?
Yeah, of course.
On Monday.
Absolutely. As long as it's not three.
Now, you're home against the Rays. They're on the road against San Diego. You would take two back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but – well, because like you could go 3-3. You could sweep the Rays, mm-hmm. and they could sweep the Padres, and you're just two back.
Yeah,
nothing changes. So I think the biggest thing right now is don't lose ground.
I think I would take two back, too.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to conservatively. And granted, the Rays have been scuffling, but you're facing their two best pitchers.
Yeah. All right, so, what was the third question?
That was the third question.
My bad. 713-780-ESPN. How many games would you take if the Astros are back come Monday? 713-780-3776. Also, will the Astros have a new player or players by noon Monday when our show starts? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Speaking of the Astros, Gino Ben wants to send you to an Astro game. Houston-based Gino Ben Spirits wants to treat you to a night out in Space City. They have an Astros ticket giveaway happening right now. Enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Friday, September 1st Astros home game against the Yankees. Yes, Gino Ben does it right. They do their spirits right. And they do their Astro ticket giveaways right. Most of these ticket giveaways, they're sending you to a midweek game, a Tuesday, Wednesday game. They're sending you to a mid-market game. No, the Gino Ben wants to send you to the Astros-Yankees Friday, September 1st. To enter, all you have to do is head over to Facebook or Instagram at Gino Ben Spirits, Facebook, Instagram at Gino Ben Spirits. Click on the pin giveaway post for instructions. You have through August 14th for your chance to enter and a chance to win. Plus, anytime you're at Minute Maid Park, you can find Gino Ben Spirits serving up their specialty cocktails at Ben's Bar in Section 106. What's their secret? Unparalleled smoothness. They've mastered the art of eliminating impurities that cause harshness or that unpleasant burn in distilled spirits. You'll love what's not in it.
Suavemente, bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
Oh, this song puts you in such a good mood to enter your weekend. I love when Javier pitches on Friday. Like, I want to go have a mojito now, to be honest with you. Don't you?
That sounds good. Tex-Mex. Sorry, Jake.
It's fine. Mojito, a little margarita, a little Tex-Mex. Any of that sounds good.
I had some Tex-Mex last night.
Did you?
Well, after our conversation about how good Tex-Mex was, and that's what we would give aliens.
Where'd you go, Valencia's?
No, I ordered it. So
near the house?
Yeah, somewhere on Kingwood.
Where'd you go?
I don't even remember. It was a...
Really hit, didn't it?
Is it a
double whammy was it negative?
Iguana Joe's?
Don't know where you went, and you didn't go to a sponsor?
Iguana Joe's.
I live in Kingwood. Mm. There's not a Valencia's in Kingwood. I would go all the time if there was.
Make it happen.
I went to the Potbelly next to Valencia's the other day for lunch. Valencia smelled good, though. I was regretting my decision. I didn't have time for the Valencia's. 5856, you guys are the best. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You're one of the few that think that, but you have a great weekend as well. 5856. Hopefully with. I love this song so much. It's such a good song. Sad reality is we might have to change it if Javier pitches poorly tonight.
Well, Joe already screwed up and jinxed. Fromber the other night.
Now, Fromber has not been in good form, though.
But honestly, I was thinking about that. The song Roller Coaster is now more fitting than it was when he was rolling.
It's a good point.
This
song just makes me happy. I'm so... like
he's at the point where like he's like upside down, stuck on the roller coaster right now, is where Fromber's at.
I'm so sad Luis Garcia's hurt.
I'll give you a Luis Garcia on the next off day.
Cumbia. That sounds... Would you? That would mean so much to me.
Should we start doing for Astros off day? Should we start doing the pitchers who are on the injured list?
Yeah, let's do. Well,
like, you rotate play, between or, like or Garcia, just
memories,
McCullers.
Memories of the way we were. We could do like Jake Odorizzi's 8 Mile song. Yeah. We could just Justin Verlander's. We could bring back all the ones we used to do.
Didn't Odorizzi have two?
We had the Stan.
Stan, but whenever you're that was over easy song. I think we had one for Odorizzi.
Like Stan, like Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we hated watching him pitch.
That's great. That's great.
Actually, I don't even know if it was the Stan one. I think it was like what's played in Stan, right? Like
right. It was part of the. There's a female singer that did the song.
It was that song.
And you could hear the rain and everything.
Yeah, we used that part. We used the entire song of what that part of is in Stan.
Oh, it was Dido.
Dido. That's right. Yep. Play that Dido. That's right.
There you go.
I feel like Odorizzi though, his alter ego had a different song. Like when he pitched well. I think we went to a different song. Verlander was
Joe could call his twin and find
Ace
out.
Of Spades.
I don't remember. That's right.
Verlander was Ace of Spades. Yep. I don't remember McCullers though. Quite frankly, I don't know if
I don't think we ever had one. I don't think we ever had one.
Maybe
McCullers.
Not because he never pitched.
We contemplated it. We had a vote one time, but we didn't solidify it.
Huh?
Yeah, we had options.
I don't remember. 713-780-ESPN. Before we get into the will the Astros have a new player or players by the time we do a show again on Monday, let's go out to the HRP listener line. Robbie, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Wonderful,
man. I'm just wondering why they can't do like a bullpen session like a lot of other teams do, and you can put some of the 3Ms out there, like Mazinski, Montero, Maton, to eat up some innings, to rest some of the starting pitching arms.
Yeah.
Looking like for an opener?
He wants a bullpen day.
You want an opener with a bullpen day?
Sounds like it. It sounds like it. I don't think that's a bad idea in a pinch. Like, if you're committed to giving every starter 5 days off, because normal rotation, a five-man rotation, you're pitching every fifth day, means you have 4 days off. Whenever you go to a six-man rotation, the whole idea behind the six-man rotation is you're giving them the extra day. You're giving them 5 days off, and then they're pitching on the sixth day. You don't necessarily need to have a starting pitcher in order to give the rest of your rotation the fifth day. You have your throw off. If you don't have the off days that week, which the Astros are about to start a stretch where they play, I think, 32 games in a 34-day stretch, which is going to be pretty taxing. The problem, like I normally I'm not opposed to that. Like, I'm fine whenever teams do that. The Rays do that a lot, Robbie, is that the Astros' bullpen has been super taxed, and they don't really have a long guy in the bullpen right now. Like, Seth Martinez is the longest guy they have in the bullpen right now, and quite frankly, he's like two innings tops, maybe a third, but he really starts to labor in that third inning. So I don't think that the Astros, because of how much they've worked their bullpen and because they don't really have a long bulk guy in the bullpen, I don't think that they're really suited to do that with the way that they're currently built.
Yeah, no. I think that and the fact that, you know, like you said, you pretty much surmised all of it. The fact is, these guys have had a lot of innings already put on them. A lot of guys are way over their max appearances in terms of how much usage they've already gotten. Your back of your bullpen guys, you definitely don't want coming in any sooner than the back of your bullpen that went in the six, you know, 7, 8, 9,
mm-hmm.
and you probably don't want to mess with that. And then you don't have a viable long guys to go to, multiple long guys. You could try and burn Stanek, but with Montero in flux, you're more likely to try and burn him, but there, you know, more times than not, Dusty's been needing those guys too.
Yep.
So I just think it's not the right time.
That's the other thing with like a bullpen day. You're using every single one of your relievers. So now they've been used that day, every single one. So it really puts the state of your bullpen
in a
difficult spot.
The graphic that AT&T uses about each bullpen arm and when they were used last. If you go straight down the line with all those guys,
they would all have to pitch
in. You're screwing yourself for the rest of the series.
Because you don't have that bulk guy.
Right.
Like if you had Blanco to be the follower for a reliever and he eats four innings, then it makes sense. It makes sense to do that. But if Martinez can only give you two, now you have to use Maton for an inning. You need to use Stanek for an inning. You need to use Presley for an inning. You need to use Abreu for an inning. You need to use Presley for an inning. So it really taxes your bullpen because you don't have the bulk guy now.
Like Dubin. Dubin was a guy because
Dubin
he was
would be a good
starter.
Bulk
Dubin
guy.
Would be a guy that could give you three, four innings as opposed to one or two.
You know who I would like as my opener if the Astros ever did this, though? A very right-handed oriented lineup that you're going up against?
Phil Maton?
Rafael Montero.
Oh.
Two innings, Rafael Montero against a bunch of righties to open up again, because we've seen him go two innings lately. Two innings for Rafael
splits,
Montero.
That's why I thought you were leaning that way.
Right. But at Montero, two innings. He's been pitching two innings lately every now and then. And then Ronel Blanco, three, four innings. All of a sudden, you're into the seventh inning if everything goes right. I don't hate it.
What, Jeremy, watching Blanco the other night in Sugarland, I'm just not.
That's why they need to add an arm, probably.
I'm just not there.
When we do a show at noon on Monday, will the Astros have a new player or players by the time our show starts? They have one right now, Jake Asman's telling us. The Astros just made a trade.
That's what he's saying. And he gave you the thumbs up. All
maybe,
right.
Where's Joe at with our sounder?
And where are people giving us breaking news and then telling us on one of our social medias?
I've got it.
Okay.
The Astros have made a trade. Play the sounder for us, Blinkers. Play a sounder for us.
Boom, boom, boom.
Breaking news.
Breaking
the
news.
Astros and Chicago White Sox are in agreement on a deal that will send right-handed reliever Kendall Graveman back to the Astros.
I kind of like it.
I like the idea of Graveman a lot. Now, I want to see the return before we have full takes here, and we have not seen a return yet. But the Astros getting Kendall Graveman added to this bullpen, the Astros bullpen is great again.
I like it because he can be what Montero hasn't been. He can be, you know, he can be a guy at the back end when you need him to be a back end guy. I think this is a good pickup, but you're right. I'm not going to fully give it the Astros won the trade or great until I see what they gave up. They better not have given up Corey Lee.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me look at some of the specifics on Kendall Graveman.
Yeah, what's his contract got left on it?
Remember he left the Astros. I thought he signed a three-year deal.
I thought it was a three as well.
Could have been two with a player option. No, 3 years, $24 million. So he's $8 million per year. So the Astros have him for the rest of this year and next year.
Next year. Yeah.
So that's cool. I like that idea.
But that might have to give up more then.
That's probably true. Now, Graveman this year has been fine. He hasn't pitched as good as he did last year or the year before, but a 3.48 for Kendall Graveman, 42 strikeouts, 44 innings. So he's getting about a strikeout per inning, 20 walks. Look, we know Kendall Graveman too. And I don't even think he's your eighth inning guy. You have four leverage
he's
relievers
now. He's your versatility
now.
Guy.
He's your stopper, right? Or is he your fireman?
Well, kind of like before they settled on Abreu, who he was changing a lot of different areas. You know, he was sixth inning, then he was seventh inning, then he was eighth inning. You know, he moved all around playoffs. He was big when they moved him into the eighth inning role. But he played the role of whoever needs a day off that is normally, you know, between all the different guys, between Presley, Abreu this year, and Neris. Of those three guys, if a guy's pitched 2 days in a row, you got a guy that can fill that spot.
Yeah, I mean, you have four leverage guys.
Oh, look, there's Joe.
You have four leverage guys in your bullpen now.
I like it.
I mean, you have Ryan Presley at the back end. You have Brian Abreu in the back end. Then you have Hector Neris and Kendall Graveman. This is a good name. Dana Brown has added a really good name. Now, I don't want to have a hot take because if it's Corey Lee, Pedro Leon, Drew Gilbert, then I don't think it's a good trade. But this is a significant arm that has been added to the Houston Astros bullpen.
Compared to the scenarios we were talking about today with guys that are just not going to be splashy, this is more splashy. This is a name that I think Astros fans are going to be excited about. This is a name that if you're following baseball, you raise an eyebrow and go, ooh, that's a guy that could be a back end of the bullpen guy for a team that needs a guy like that. I think it's a good pickup.
Coug says first domino from Montero to the Mets Verlander trade. It's a good point. Like now that you've added an extra reliever, like maybe you can be more willing to add Montero in a salary dump. We've not seen Joe what the Astros are giving up here for Kendall Graveman.
No, I haven't seen anything yet.
I like that he's under club control for another year because you have Maton coming off the books. You have Stanek coming off the books. And Neris isn't under contract next year either because he hit an option where it becomes a player option, I believe. But it's so cheap that he's going to get more on the free agency market. So, like, Neris could even be off the books next year for the Houston
Astros.
Unless
it's something I really disagree with for what they gave up, I like adding Kendall Graveman to this bullpen for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the return is. And we'll see if Dana Brown stays busy over the weekend. So, yes, there is a new player, ahead of next week's show. Now we'll see if there's more players for the Astros next week. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George, our resident bubble boy, for doing all the hard work. He's blank. He hates that I call him that. He's blank on Branham. Listen to The Wheelhouse next. You want to listen to The Wheelhouse more than you've ever listened to The Wheelhouse before because our very own Joe George will be hosting with Jake from 3 to 7. That does it for us. Have a great weekend, Houston. We'll talk to you on Monday. The Wheelhouse featuring Joe George is next on ESPN 97.5. And ESPN 92.5.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.